read. Just remain standing. Turn, if you will, to Luke chapter number 11 again this evening. Luke chapter 11, and then we're going to be going over to John chapter 15. Luke chapter 11 will begin and go over to John chapter number 15. I appreciate all the songs by the congregation and the specials as well. Thank God for His blessings. Amen. And I'm glad we've got something to sing about and know what we're singing about. Amen. And that's a blessing of the Lord. Luke 11, that's where we were at this morning. And really that's where we're dealing with this thought about the Lord teaching us to pray. And I'm going to read that first verse and then go to John chapter 15, read you one verse there. Then we'll stay in the book of John for a while, look at some things there in those verses. Luke chapter 11, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." Do you ever think that perhaps one of the reasons why God allows things to come our way is that He's teaching us to pray? We talk about the candidates that we have to choose from. We don't have a choice, as far as I can tell. But the candidates we have to choose from, we say, why have we come to this? Perhaps our Lord is teaching us to pray. Amen? And I believe that if our nation ever needed prayers today, if our families ever needed prayers today, amen, if our churches ever needed prayer, the song they sang first in the special, "There, Send the Rain," if we ever needed to pray for God's heavenly influence in the form of spiritual rain to come, it's today, and that comes by prayer. I believe that's right. Now, John chapter 15, verse number 16 is the verse I want to pick out and give you this prayer secret number 6 that we're looking at here today. Verse number 16 of John 15, the Bible says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." That phrase, "in my name," that's what I want to look at this evening. And I call this the key of prayer. We've talked about the invitation to prayer. We talked about the atmosphere of that place of prayer being the throne of grace. Then this morning we dealt with the address of prayer. We pray to the Father. And now we're looking at this part through the Son, through the name. That's the key that gets us in the door, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Brother Herford, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes, we do, Lord. Yes. Yes. Please, Lord, help there. Help there, Lord, yes. Yes. Amen, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated, and I do appreciate that prayer. I want to read you before I really start my message, just as an introduction to it, I want to read you a poem that I found by John Newton, and the poem is about prayer. It's entitled, "Approach My Soul, the Mercy Seat." The first line, that's the title of the song. "Approach my soul, the mercy seat, where Jesus answers prayer. There humbly fall before His feet, for none can perish there. Thy promise is my only plea, with this I venture nigh. Thou calledst burdened soul to Thee, and such, O Lord, am I. Bowed down beneath the load of sin, by Satan sorely pressed, by war without and fears within, I come to Thee for rest. Be Thou my shield and hiding place, that sheltered near Thy side, I may fierce I may my fierce accuser face and tell him, thou hast died. O wondrous love to bleed and die, to bear the cross and shame, that guilty sinners such as I might plead thy gracious name. Poor tempest-tossed soul, be still, my promised grace receive. I'll work in thee both power and will. Thou shalt in me believe. Amen. I'm glad there's a place, a hiding place, near our Lord when we go to Him in prayer. Amen. Not just for our soul in salvation, but also for our life and our needs and our burdens and our trials, that we can carry them to Him in supplication and know that He hears and answers our prayers. Amen. Now, talking about this thing about this phrase, in my name, there in John 15, 16, he ends that up, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. I want to say, first of all, that this name of Jesus is not some lucky charm that we hang on the end of our prayer. Some people seem to have that idea that, you know, just we put that on our hoping that God will hear it, and perhaps that'll cause us to get the desired benefit. It is on the end of it, but it's not really the ending. It is the beginning of our prayer. It is the embodiment of our prayer in the fact that we're praying in His name, and I believe it is the key that unlocks the treasure chest of heaven's treasury. I believe it is the key that unlocks the door to the throne room and gives us access to all our Father's resources. Amen. And I'm glad it is. It is a secret, a prayer secret, if we can say it that way, of successful prayer when we realize the power that is in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, most of you know your Bible well enough to know that John chapter 14, 15, and 16 is dealing with the last night. All three chapters deal with the last night that our Lord spent with His disciples. They're in the upper room, and there's much that goes on and takes place in that last night as He's dealing with those disciples. I say the last night in the flesh, before that He's to be betrayed, and then later goes to Calvary, and then, of course, we know rises again from the grave, praise God, amen, and then meets with them again and again, and thank God He will one day meet with us again. But this is the last night before that He is to be betrayed and the crucifixion is to take place. And in these three chapters, our Lord deals with all He talks about are things that are of utmost importance. He's not talking to the multitude. He's talking to that little band that He's gathered, that little church that He's gathered together, that group of people that are His disciples. And He's given them that last precious and solemn talk as He tells them some very important things. One of the subjects that He discusses is this subject of prayer. He talks about this matter of prayer, and matter of fact, He uses this phrase, in my name. It's so important that He uses this phrase seven times in these three chapters. And I want to show you those seven times, and actually six, and then tied in the seventh here. But look back in chapter 14 and verse number 13. John chapter 14 and verse number 13. This phrase, in my name, and it's primarily talking about prayer. We'll see that it deals with the Holy Ghost and a little bit else, but especially prayer. Verse 13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Look at verse 14. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So verse 13 uses the word whatsoever ye ask. Verse number 14 uses the word anything you ask, but he says ask it in my name. Look at verse number 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So the Holy Spirit comes in His name, but He said our prayers go in His name. Then again, it's found in chapter 15, verse 16, where we read in our text, He says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. So we see that phrase again. Look in chapter 16, verse number 23. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask
the Father in my name, he will give it you. Verse 24, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Look at verse number 26. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I shall not say unto you that I will pray the Father for you. So he's saying here, six times out of these seven, he's dealing with prayer. In my name. Prayer in my name. He talked about the Holy Spirit coming in his name. But I'll say this, that I believe it's very evident that our prayers are not in our name. Our prayers are not in the name of another. But we don't go in Mary's name. We don't go in Joseph's name. We don't go in some other saint's name or pope's name or preacher's name. We go through the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. And so that is the importance of that name. We need to make mention of that. There's three things I want to talk about. First of all, I want to talk about the fact that that name is the introduction of our prayer. That name is the introduction. It's what gets us in to the throne room, if I can say it that way. Remember, we're approaching the throne of grace. I know I talked this morning about it being our Father. And I thank God that it is. And there's an intimacy there. But at the same time, I don't want us to get that we feel like that it's not some, there shouldn't be some reverence. That there shouldn't be some holiness about that place. Always remember, though He is our Father, He is the sovereign God and King of the universe. Amen. He is the Holy One that we come to approach to. Amen. Paul talked about our God is a consuming fire. He wasn't saying that to strike fear into sinners. He was saying that to strike fear into saints. Our God's not somebody to trifle with. He's not just a big guy upstairs. He's not just the old buddy that we commune with now and then. Amen. He's God. Amen. And it is a throne of grace. He's the King that sits upon the throne. Therefore, we need to reverence Him, and therefore we need a reference in order to get into Him. Amen. Two things I think about the introduction of that name is our introduction to prayer. First of all, our name stands for worthlessness. Our name won't get us in. Amen. I could pick up my phone and I could call Washington, D.C., and I don't know how far I could get with that, but I could say, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd. I want to talk to Mr. Barack Obama. And they'd say, this is who? I'd say, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd. Don't you know who I am? And they'd say, why, no. My name wouldn't get me in. One thing, I didn't vote for him. Thank God. Neither time, by the way. Amen. But and I wouldn't vote for him again. But anyway, my name wouldn't get me in. But this thing about God, God's a lot higher than anybody in Washington, D.C. God's a lot higher than any region on this planet. He's a holy, high God. And our name will not get us in. But secondly, one name stands supreme. Amen. Our name is worthless, but His name is worthy. Amen. If I could quote, I believe it's right, as Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9 says, there is a name that's above every other name, thank God, and that's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we come to God in prayer, we can come in that name knowing we will be accepted through that name. Amen. Amen. A lot of times we finish our prayer with a statement something like this. We say, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Or we'll say, in Jesus' name. Amen. That's the way I say that. Sometimes we hurry through that phrase. Sometimes it's like that we just do it formally because we know we're supposed to. Ritually, routinely, we just do it almost without thinking. When in reality, it's not just something tacked on the end to make it pretty. I believe it is the most important part of our prayer. Amen. Because it is the key that gets us in. We can talk all we want to talk. But if we don't come through Jesus, we're not getting in. Amen. Amen. I believe it is the most important part of our prayer. Our petition is offered through Him. Again, I said it this morning. It's not wrong to pray to Jesus because He's God. It's not wrong to pray to the Holy Ghost because He's God. But technically, our prayer is to the Father. It is to the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so I'm dealing with this thing through the name. I can approach the Father through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This name is sufficient to secure our acceptance of our person. He'll accept us in because we come in Jesus' name. And it will also secure the attention of our petition. What we come asking for, thank God He'll pay attention because we're coming in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That name is the introduction of our prayer. Secondly, that name is the signature of our prayer. Now, two things about the signature there that I believe is important. First of all, just the fact that we're allowed to use it. Amen. Not everybody will loan you their signature. Amen. Mine wouldn't get you far. But most people wouldn't loan you their signature. But our Lord has done that. He said we can come in His name. Look at John 14:14 again. We looked at that earlier. Look at those seven times that He uses the phrase "in my name." Six of them dealing with prayer. John 14:14. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. There is a check. He's handing you the check that is empty. Whatever you want, ask. Fill in the blank. Write as many zeros. Put however much you need. And down at the bottom, you see His signature. I will do it. Amen. And so He's handing us a blank check. Does that sound like something that is unreasonable? Does that sound like something that's just too unimaginable, the fact that it's too good to be true? You remember when that Syrophoenician woman came to our Lord? She was just a Gentile. And at that time, He'd not come to the Gentiles. He came on to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And yet this Syrophoenician woman came begging Him to heal her daughter. And our Lord said to her, it's not fit or meet to throw or cast the children's bread to dogs. And she said, true, Lord, but even the dogs desire the crumbs that fall from the Master's table. Amen. Amen. Our Lord talked about He hadn't found such great faith in all of Israel. But He said to that woman, I can't remember the exact phrase, but something along these lines, be it unto thee as thou wilt. In other words, He said, woman, you've got so much faith, I can trust you with my checkbook. I'll just hand you the checkbook. Write whatever you need. Amen. Our Lord is saying that to us. This signature, this part of our prayer, by coming in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, has His signature in that, and the fact that we are allowed to use it. If for example, Brother Brownin's here today, if he were to give me a check, and he wrote whatever the amount, I'd let him write the amount. Let's just say he wrote a check for $100,000, just a measly $100,000, and signed it on the bottom. And that check was made, let's say it was made on Fifth Third Bank, because I know where that's at, alright? If it was made on the Fifth Third Bank, I'd be there when the door opened in the morning. But when I went in there, it wouldn't be me asking for that money. He asked for it because he signed the check. Right? It's his request with his signature on it. And so this thing about us calling on God in the name of the Lord Jesus, it's as if it's not us that's even asking. It's Jesus asking in our stead. Amen. And so He's saying, you've got my signature on it. Thank God for such a special thing. Now, in thinking about that, I want to say not only is it amazing that we can use it, but we ought to be very careful how we use it. Not take the Lord's name in vain. Not use it foolishly or frivolously. Amen. Be careful not to misuse it. In other words, when we pray, we ought to pray something that Christ would not be ashamed to put His name on. Amen. Don't pray for something that is foolish. For example, something just to lift you up in pride. You're not going to get that. James said you've asked it amiss, that you might consume it upon your own lust. He said you missed the mark. You didn't ask something that Christ could put His name on. But if we'll ask the things that are in God's will, the things that Christ would ask for Himself, we can trust that we can have those met. Thank God. Amen. His name is our introduction to prayer. Number two, His name is our signature of prayer. Number three, His name, and it just ties together, is the character of our prayer. Our prayer ought to be in accord with His name. If He's going to put His name on it, it's got to be in agreement with His nature, with His known character, with His will. Amen. For Him to say, ask anything, it's not asking for foolish things. Again, God, kill this person. I want him out of my life. No, that's not how He wants us to pray. not, and I've heard people say foolish things before. I heard a man say, he said, wouldn't it be sad to get up to heaven and see all these stacks of money? And the Lord said, I had it up here, you just never asked for it. Now, sometimes God gives us money, but he meets our needs in those ways. But it's not just to make us rich. By the way, God is the one that gives wealth. If He hasn't given us wealth, it must be because He knows we couldn't handle it. Amen. Very few people can handle it. Well, watch those that do have it and see how they handle it. Amen. Very few people can handle it very well. But I'm talking about this thing about being in the character of the Lord Jesus, being the character of our prayer. There's three things I want to say about that. Our prayer then, if it's going to end with Jesus' name, if it's going to go through the Lord Jesus Christ to the Father, number one, there must be an acquaintance with Him. We've got to know Him. I touched on it this morning. There's some argument. I know some people dogmatically say, God heareth not sinners. God never hears a sinner's prayer. They quote that from the Pharisees in the Bible. That statement was made by the Pharisees. It was not made by God or by a godly person. And I'll say this. Cornelius was praying, and Cornelius didn't know who Jesus was. But the Lord, that angel came to him and said, thine alms and thy prayers have been heard. So I would say that somewhere along the line, and I don't want to get an argument with you, but somewhere along the line, God does, to a degree, hear the prayer, even of sinners. By the way, when you came and called on Him, wasn't you a sinner? We can thank God that He does hear the prayer of sinners. Amen. Amen. But there's, when we come to the Father, the only way we can call Him our Father is if we've come through the Lord Jesus Christ. If we have an acquaintance, we have a relationship with Him. Now this thing about an acquaintance with Him, it's more than just knowing who He is. This thing about praying in His name, we gotta know what He wants. We not only gotta know who He is, we gotta know what He is, what He represents, the character of Him, and therefore we can know what He wants. We can pray in the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse 16 says it this way. For who hath the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Paul is saying to the Corinthians, those of us that are saved, those of us that walk with God, we know what is the will of God. Amen. And so we know what He wants. Just like an ambassador in another country, an ambassador representing, for example, representing the United States, whatever government that it be, that ambassador knows the mind or the mindset, the planning of the government which he represents. And let's say, for example, he's talking to the UN or he's talking to some group of other nationality. That's what ambassadors do. They go to another nation and they represent us there and they work for our benefit and for our interest over there, wherever it is that they're at. But they know what our plans are. They know what our government's idea is and the accomplishments that they want to set out. I'm telling you, when we go to heaven with our prayer request, number one, we ought to know what is the will of God. We ought to know what our God wants, what our Lord wants, and pray in that avenue. Not trying to change God's will, but asking God to help us understand and know His will and then submit and obey His will. How do we come to know His will? Well, first of all, by studying the Word of God. Amen. Studying the Word of God. God's will is revealed. Now, I don't know how much, if any, that God reveals His will today in dreams and visions. But I know He reveals it in His Word. And matter of fact, Peter said, we've got a more sure word of prophecy. Amen. Thank God we can be sure of it because He's put it in black and white. Thank God. Amen. And it's preserved for us, amen, not only inspired and given, but preserved for us. And we even have it in a language which we can understand. Therefore, we have no excuse for not knowing what is the will of God when we can study God's Word. But we also know the will of God by walking by His side, by spending time with Him, by trusting Him and obeying Him. Therefore, we can come to possess His mind. We can know almost instinctively what His will is and what He would think about matters. Amen. For example, somebody could come knock on my door and say, I want to sell you a truckload of Jack Daniels. I don't have to pray about it. I know what Jack Daniels is. Amen. I know what God's will is towards that. Amen. God said that wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. There's another thing. I can talk about other things. The Mormons come to your door. I don't have to pray about what to do with them, whether to sit and listen to them or not. I know what God's will is concerning that matter. Amen. Jehovah's Witness. On down the line, we just talk about a lot of things. We can know the mind of God. So when I pray, I don't have to say, Lord, I don't know. I don't know. Listen, I can know what is the will of God, and I can pray in Jesus' name. There must be, number one, an acquaintance with Him. Number two, a harmony with Him. In other words, I want what He wants. My will is not against His will. Amen. There should be a harmony. Because if I'm praying against His will, I remember years ago, before Elliot Smith ever pastored a church, when I hadn't been pastoring Vision long, and I had Brother Elliot up, and we were friends, had been friends for a long time, and I remember we were talking, and Elliot said, Brother Shepherd, I want you to pray for me. He said, I'm praying that God would give me a church. And Mrs. Smith said, and I'm praying that it won't be no trouble. And I said, Elliot, you ain't got a chance. You're praying your way in, she's praying you out. Because if you get a church, you're going to have some trouble. Amen. If they got any people. Amen. You would have had some problems. And I did say it as a joke, but it's true. He found it out to be true. And listen, we can't pray in opposition. We got to pray in agreement. There's got to be harmony with His signature if we're going to use His signature in our prayer. An association with Him, a harmony with Him, and number three, a union with Him. Closely related. In other words, we must not only know what our Lord wants, we must be in agreement with what He wants, and we must want the same thing He wants. Amen. We're in union. What He wants is what I want. Sometimes it's almost we say, Lord, I know Your will's best. It still ain't what I want, but You know what's best. He wants us to go a step further than that. That may be second base. Amen. It may be first base to find out what God wants. It may be second base to be able to say, all right, Lord, even though I don't want it, I still want Your will to be done. But it'd be third base when we can say, Lord, I want exactly what You want because I know You know best. Amen. And we are in union with Him. Now, I think about that. There's a lot of things I could say about it. And I'm going to be done right here in just a minute. But there is a blessed intimacy in the relationship we have between our Lord and His people. And it's talked about all through the Scriptures. As a matter of fact, right here in John 15, He talks about being the vine. Look at verse number 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Thank God, I'm one of His branches. Amen. I am the vine, ye are His branches. He that abideth in me, and I am him, the same shall bring forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Amen. We are the branches in His vine. We are also the members of His body. We can say the limbs of His body. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. That's pretty close. And then we are members of the family. 1 John 3:1 is what I started to quote this morning. He says, behold, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. We are part of His family. And then we're the bride of Christ. Amen. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Now, here's my last point on this thing about being in union with Him. When a boy marries a girl, when a man marries a woman, by the way, it's strange. That's the way it's supposed to be, by the way. A boy marries a girl or a man marries a woman. No such thing as a man marrying a man or a woman marrying a woman. Or a cat marrying a dog. Amen. It's unnatural. But when a man marries a woman, she quits using her name. She starts using his name. Because everything that's his is now hers. She has the right with that. Now you know the saying, what's his is hers and what's hers is hers. But she's got the right to use that name, and it's legally recognized. She can go to the bank, and she can get what he's got. Amen. And if he was rich, If he was rich, her name being poor, if she was poor and he is rich, when she gets in that family now, she's rich. Right? And by the way, our Lord does not sign prenuptial agreements. He doesn't say, all right, I'll let you in the family, but you're never really going to be a part of the family. He says, I'll let you in. I'll share everything I've got with you. I'll give it all to you. Amen. Thank God he does, by the way. But you take the story, the idea here of a poor girl marries a rich young man. Now she's got his name. She can go in stores and all of a sudden where her name meant nothing before, it means something now. Because she's using his name. Can I tell you, when we were lost in sin, our name meant nothing of worth. We as mud, as old saying is. Amen. Just mud. But by the good grace of God, we got into the family of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we can walk around using his name. Every morning we can get up and use his name. Every evening before we go to bed, we can use his name. We can walk into the bank of heaven, if I want to say it that way, and cash the biggest check that ever was because we're using his name. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed. The key to prayer is the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, thank you for the privilege again to stand and proclaim and preach and teach and encourage people to pray and realize what wonderful opportunities we have in prayer. What wonderful privileges we have in prayer. What great, enormous power we have in prayer. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, to pray. Teach us to pray. Lord, in this day when troubles seem so nigh, seems like one storm after another, one catastrophe after another, one problem after another, Lord, teach us to pray, to walk in faith without fear, because we've spoke to the Father and we know we're going to have the answer because we've come through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray work in this invitation time according to thy will. Whatever you want to accomplish, Lord, that's what I want. Have your way, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. While we sing, if you need to come, obey the Lord and do what he says. 157. While we sing, would you come?